G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Cobby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. And what a show we have for you. The college football rankings are out. We know the four that are in: Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. We'll break that down. We're going to talk Citrus Bowl. UK will be playing Penn State. 1999 called. They want their bowl back. A little reunion there 20 years later. We'll give you an early look on Penn State. We'll look at all the awards from AP and SEC. UK racked in a lot. Get ready to build a bigger trophy case. Louisville's got their guy. Satterfield era will start for the 2019 season for the Louisville Cardinals.
Is that how you say that?
I think it's Satterfield.
I'm saying Satterfield.
Until he proves himself, he doesn't deserve to be called
exactly.
The right name.
Satterfield. UK games this week. Lyle will give us a great breakdown of what's been going on. And then the weekly poll, music on the 590 show. It's a fool's choice instead of a dealer's choice. We're going to let you, the fans, decide what we will be playing on Sundays at 590 WVOK.
Based off of our picks.
Based off of our pick. Yep. And even though it's not on there, and I'm disappointed that it's not, the fattest thing I did this week.
We have multiple shows this week, Max. We do several shows throughout the week now.
We always do it on
We've expanded. Did you not get that menu?
On this one, we always do fattest thing I did this week.
No.
Yes, we always. On this one right here, we always have.
No. Smitty?
It's not a debate.
It's always the last one. It's always the last one of the week.
Smitty, you know for a fact it's tonight.
It's the last one of the week.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Am I the tiebreaker?
You're the
Yes.
All right. Cool. So the BCS rankings.
so much.
Yes. You know what?
First of all, it's not BCS rankings.
It's
college football playoff rankings.
God, somebody. I don't really
you know, who described Mike Leach described that the best.
Oh my God.
That post, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what you call it anymore. 1AA, 2A, 3A, I don't know.
He said, let's go to Division II and see if they have a way of figuring it out. Oh, look, they do. He said, high school. Okay, that might be a little not up to par on what you're looking for. Let's go to Division II.
I like how he went through each division.
Yeah.
They have it. Well, they have it too.
Yeah.
Well, look, that works.
Oh, what a legend. I mean,
that was great.
It's just pure gold.
I'm a little disappointed that he's not the head coach at Louisville. I'm a little disappointed.
I'm not, because I would have to be a little bit of a fan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It can't just be like Chris Mack at Louisville. I mean, you can't hate the guy.
I'm glad we don't cover Washington State sports, because with my credentials, I would schedule an interview and just walk into his office and go, hey, what's going on? Let's just sit and talk for a little while.
that's all you have to say. Just go, what are you reading today?
We would be making weekly requests to get him on the show.
What are you doing? Yeah. What's going on in your world this week?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Some Five Guys, some Fat Burger.
Whatever your preference is. But looking at this, so with this CFP ranking, this was the most conservative, safest four teams you could pick. And you really can't argue with it.
Yeah. According to what the College Football Playoff Committee has deemed their their process of how they go through and pick these teams, when they said, and the commissioner came out and said, when there's two teams, which in this case they deemed Georgia and Oklahoma to fit this bill, that are not unequivocally able to decipher between the two, they go to the process that they have in place, which is looking at a lot of things such as conference championships, wins against top teams, how you finish the end of the year, things like that. And so ultimately it came down to, and the commissioner said it, because Oklahoma had a conference championship, that's the reason they ended up instead of Georgia. So whether you agree with it or not, we talked about it on the Sunday show, which we just posted yesterday. I guess you're listening to this now on Tuesday. We posted this on Monday.
Time travel, just go.
I know, right? It's too much. I almost said today, but then it would have been really confusing. So
really, really confused there for a minute. Like, where am I?
But we just reposted if you didn't listen to us live. So go check it out because we were live during the time that they announced the top four, really the top six, I guess, and who was into the playoff and who wasn't. And so we talked about it. We thought Georgia should have been in. We thought they would pick Oklahoma, which they did. And we thought if they put Ohio State in that the world should be set on fire. So at least they went with the safe pick.
Yeah, at least they did. And
I still want to know how close the 4 and the 5 vote was.
I do, yeah. Too. I do too.
And that's the only thing that bugs me about this, because last year conference championship didn't matter. It was about who are the four best teams. And even they show the Vegas lines between Oklahoma and Georgia. Georgia is favored by 3.5 against Ohio State. UGA was favored against Ohio State by 6.5. And I saw another one about Notre Dame that they'd be favored against Notre Dame by 3.
Yeah.
So obviously, and someone made a great point saying, well, Notre Dame doesn't even have a conference championship. They don't even play in a conference. Therefore, that should be void. And well, they get mad over it. Well, play in a conference.
Yeah. This was an opportunity for the college football playoff committee to – If they somehow could have taken Georgia or Oklahoma in this matter and put them at number 3 and kept Notre Dame at number 4, and basically as like a punishment for Notre Dame being able to, number 1, not only skate by staying in their own schedule and not in a conference, but number 2, just all the money that Notre Dame's straight collecting because they don't have to give anything to a conference when they're playing these games every year. If the playoff committee had a chance to do some damage there and match Notre Dame up against Alabama game 1 and just basically punish them for not even being a part of or taking a step at trying to join a conference in recent years past. So I thought that would have been awesome if they had done that, but obviously they're not going to try to send that message.
We need an expanded playoff because 4 teams, there's still too many ways that this can be manipulated by the conferences.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
in all honesty, I mean, yeah. There's just too much that can go on because, like we talked about on the show, and we've talked about it several times, what good is it for Georgia to play for the conference championship in that case?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If they sit at home last weekend, there's a very good shot they're number 4.
Right. Right.
They stay at number 4. Yep. Because then, without playing in that conference championship, they would have to leave them at 4 if you're going to leave Notre Dame at 3.
Right.
If they don't play in that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It is true. I thought of it like this. Watching how all these teams played, what was disheartening to see is – again, and I got nervous because, Matt, as you were talking about how the world was about ready to get set on fire, people were about ready to make the claim that Ohio State deserved to be in that. And then did anyone see the gall of Urban Meyer and what he said, the reason why this team deserves to be in?
Mm-hmm.
Please say you all heard that.
No, I did not. Yeah.
Please, he sure. said that this team deserves to get in because of the controversy and all the adversity they had to face as a team at the beginning of the year.
Okay, so put Maryland in. They had a play or die.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I would seriously
– Yeah, like
– look at her mind and go, but did you die?
Yeah. I missed that part of the college football playoff committee's criteria. I missed that line in there that said, if you went through a hardship this season, that you deserve to be in the top 4. That was my bad for missing that. So obviously Urban saw it, but no one else did.
Yeah. I mean, look, Texas should be in. Look at all, because of Urban Meyer, all the crap Tom Herman's had to put up with.
Louisville should be in.
Yeah.
Look what they went through this year. Yeah. Why not? Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. So if I'm – the other thoughts that I've been having is if I'm Alabama, am I happier that I'm facing Oklahoma first game or would I rather have been facing Notre Dame first game?
I don't think it matters. They're going to play Clemson in the second game either way.
Yeah. I think best case scenario for Alabama, obviously they beat Oklahoma, but then they got to hope that Notre Dame pulls something off against Clemson that can beat them. But I doubt it.
I don't think this, my mind's just cynical, and anything that I want in life just really doesn't happen. And I could see somehow Notre Dame weaseling their way to beating Clemson.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I don't know.
Somehow they're going to weasel their way to beat Clemson, and then they're going to play Alabama, and then we're going to see the worst national championship again, just like the one in 2012.
Yeah.
We're going to see it all over again. Because Notre Dame decided to rig the system, and now everyone has to suffer.
Yeah.
Why is it Notre Dame's fault?
Because I hate them. That's why.
Yeah. And you know what Notre Dame went and did this year?
The only person I like from Notre Dame is Rudy. That's it. And that's because of the walk-on thing. If Rudy was a Scully player, I would hate his guts.
It's that walk-on.
But the walk-on's got to stick together. We got to stick together. But if he didn't have that Scully, I hate his guts and be like, how in the world did he get a Scully out of everyone? How did he get a Scully? And I'd be resentful.
I'm resentful that you're calling it a Scully.
Yeah.
True.
You wouldn't see.
But he
you
was.
Can't, on, you can't use the word Scully. Only walk-ons can use the word Scully.
But you Check were on scholarship yourself. Your last year.
Yeah, last 2 years. But so I'm still a walk-on.
You're a part-time Scully. You're a part-time walk-on.
Mm-mm. Still true walk-on through and through.
No, you turned your back and accepted a scholarship.
Yeah.
Of course I accepted a scholarship.
You should have turned it down.
Of course I did. That was 25 grand. Of course I wasn't going to turn it down.
What's more important, the money or your pride as being a walk-on?
Hell, the money. I'm the biggest sellout there is. You put enough money in front of me, I'll say whatever you want me to say.
Speaking of being a sellout, are you a little faster today when you run because you're more aerodynamic with the mustache gone?
It is unreal. Like,
are you cold? Did you need an upper lip scarf today?
Honestly, a little bit. It just feels weird. Like, it's a whole lot easier eating. That was the biggest thing.
But you don't catch as much food.
I can enjoy soup now.
I can enjoy soup.
And I don't have to – anytime
Thank
I go
– Thank you for sharing that creepy video with the world.
Wasn't that funny?
No, that was creepy. That wasn't funny.
Well, first of all, it was Ashley's idea.
Still, no.
Oh, man.
He's my favorite God be still, but no, that was not – that was
– I got awesome praise back for it. Big points.
From who?
From Ashley.
Ashley, mom.
Let's see. Well, the only person that didn't like it is your son, and he's a punk, so I don't care his opinion.
What did but he say? Got,
huh? He said you're weird.
Yes. There you go, G2. That's
my boy.
Yes.
But I was at y'all know. I forgot where it's from. It was from a movie I saw. And it was like a Monty Python or something like that. And it was like, "Don't get saucy with me, Bernays," was the line.
Yes, yes, I saw you post that.
I posted that, and I just got a reply from him. It was like, "No, please stop.
You're embarrassing, Dad. Stop.
Stop. No, please, no." Well, see, now that I know he gives it to God, me too. He's okay.
Well, that's the only time he's my had book. The gall to be able to go after me. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. But no, like a lot of them were from guys that work with me going like, "Why'd you shave it?" I was like, "Because Ashley said I had to." And they go, "Well, you should have listened to her." And I said, "That's why I have a healthy marriage." It's because I cave in. Because a mustache is not worth is a hill not worth dying on.
True.
But I miss sitting in meetings though. Like today was the first time I sat in a meeting and I wasn't able to twist it into handlebars.
You start reaching for it, people are like, "What are you doing?"
I was like, just twisting my lip, and I'm like, Oh
no.
But No, but that was my goal, was to get to where I can do handlebars. So at that point, I was like, okay, there's not much left in life to really attain. Go out
and do like the big ones, get the big curl.
I only had 30 Raleigh days. Figures.
Huh? You can go longer. I only had 30 days.
A lifetime to do this, Max. You didn't have to be a quitter.
I did what my wife told me I had to be. Yes, I did.
That's right. I forgot. That's why you have the $1 million dog.
He's not $1 million. First of all, I freaking love that dog now. That was one of the best financial decisions I've ever made in my life.
No, that Ashley made for you.
True. But the irony is the dog loves me more than it loves her.
I told you, watch out for that.
Yep.
Watch out for that. You need to make sure that you need to use your connections with that dog and say, hey, Mitch, go spend some time with mom, make her feel good.
Oh, he does. They went on a whole weekend trip together while I was doing all the broadcasting stuff. They went back to Indiana, and so they had a great little weekend getaway.
Okay, you just remember to make sure that dog's bonding with mama before.
Stop.
Things happen.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting consumer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior. And because radio is so often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise, whether it is getting people to go online and make a purchase, stopping it to a restaurant, or spreading the word for a product. Nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com. And we will follow up immediately to answer your questions. So, awards, awards, awards. The trophy case at UK and at the new Joe Kraft facility is going to get a lot bigger. Big awards being handed out.
Yes.
Lots of them.
Would you like to elaborate more than just yes and lots of them?
Would you like to elaborate? Because you skipped a whole section on our
did I?
Notes. Yes. Jeez. We weren't ready for it. No.
Penn State earlier. Look, I apologize. Fine. Right. I was reading this.
Hey.
Matt, when you – first of all, Matt, you – the way – anyway. Matt, I think you did a decent job at the last segment of the show. I watched the last – listened to the last segment. I thought you did a decent job.
Thank you.
For having to manage one segment of a show, I thought you did a good job.
Oh.
There was more relaxed atmosphere in the studio.
Yeah, we had a good ambiance for sure.
So Penn State, the biggest thing about this game is you have one team that's excited to be there and one team that's not. UK very excited to be with this Citrus Bowl, a great opportunity, one the biggest bowl that UK has been to since the Mark Stoops era and since the 90s, this size of a bowl, versus Penn State, who thought they should have been in a better bowl. They feel like they are not playing a team that holds up to the tradition. And now you may be falling into a situation of a team of a consolation prize bowl for Penn State. But yet Penn State is still favored by 7.
It's one of those things that we talk about every year, and a lot of people talk about of, do these teams want to play in these bowls? We've seen it time and time again where good teams have come out very flat after having a month of work to be able to put in a month of break from live action against another team, but a chance to get some practices in and then come to play a bowl game. yeah, maybe some of these teams don't want to be there. I know Penn State had their hopes set high when they saw Oklahoma get into the playoffs there. That kind of nixed their opportunity of getting into one of the New Year's Six Bowl games, and now they're in the Citrus Bowl playing Kentucky. And, yeah, you're right, Max. I think a lot of these fans, just from reading, you know, the threads and different things like that, that comments that have been out there so far, they feel like they are playing against a lesser opponent and they don't have anything, you know, to gain or to prove here, that they – all they're being set up for is, you know, a loss and for a disappointment because they should have been somewhere else. So I don't know. I think we're going to get a good game from these guys because they've got some ball players, especially in Trace McSorley. They're a high powered team who obviously is very good this year when they ended up number 12. But yeah, I think they're very beatable. They're a team that we can handle, that this Kentucky team can play. This defense can handle this Penn State offense. And I'm excited to get to watch this and kind of dig in further through film. And, you know, right now we have the statistics on what they've done for the year. But that's about all that we're rolling off of until we get a chance to kind of dig in.
Yeah, I mean, I want to watch more game film on them. Just on paper, that they don't impress me that much. I mean, they're a decent team. Yeah, they're a 9-3 ball club. They remind me a lot of us. They've got, you know, a star playmaker on offense. But what they don't have that's standing out to me is they don't have anybody on defense like a Penn State you would think of. You know, when you get Penn State, you think a linebacker, you think a guy's coming off the edge, like a Josh Allen or something like that, and they don't have it. Whenever you look at their the Big Ten all selection, they don't have anybody on the first team.
Yeah.
First of all, they didn't put anybody defensively on the Big Ten awards.
Right.
They came off of the offense. And even when you look at it there, you have two second team in your quarterback and your running back in Sanders. Your linemen are your right side or two third team, and then you've got a left guard and tight end that are honorable mention out of the Big Ten.
Right. Right.
You look at us in the SEC, look what we put on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. Their fan base is probably just as crazy as ours is, and we are at sometimes, and where we want to be and what we want to be doing. You know, look at the debate we had last week on the whole Florida issue being ranked higher than us. So I get where they're coming from, but then again, you need to humble yourselves real quick, because what happens when you go down there and you get smacked by 21? What are you going to say to it then?
True.
You know, it goes back to that, you know, you are who we thought you were. So I'm excited to dig into more of this, watch some game film, dial some stuff up and see, you know, what's really special about them.
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, you look at it on the season average. I mean, their offense is averaging 424 yards a game. They're pretty even, 215 pass, 208 rush. And they're going up against a Kentucky team that averages giving up 326. That's almost 100 yards difference there. They're putting up 34, almost 35 points a game. UK's only giving up 16 points a game. On the other side of the ball, Penn State defensively is allowing 354 yards a game. UK averages 366. So those are actually pretty similar. And then they're allowing 20 points a game. Kentucky's putting up 26 points a game. What this is going to come down to, and I think everybody kind of knew this from the get-go, but what this is going to come down to is Kentucky's defense versus Penn State's offense, and can they slow it down? It's going to be a very similar story to how Alabama is going to beat Oklahoma. Not that I'm comparing these two games at all, but that's what Alabama's going to have to do to Oklahoma, slow down their offense in order to win that game. Kentucky's defense is going to have to step up to the plate and stop this Penn State offense. Yes, they put up numbers, but one of the biggest things is when you look at how they did against, really, I kind of took out four teams that Penn State played this year that were really any good or at the level that Kentucky's at. That was number four, Ohio State. They played Michigan State the game after. They played number 18, Iowa. All three of those were at home. Then they played at Michigan. They lost three of those four games. The only one that they won was against Iowa. So that's the thing about this. Their averages and their numbers look very different when you're putting them with those four games versus all these other random teams that they're playing in the rest of the Big Ten, who really doesn't mean anything. And the other thing you got to think of, too, is McSorley has been injured a lot, really, since that Iowa game. He's been on and off the field, back and forth, all the way through to where, you know, they almost ended the season. They beat Maryland pretty good, but the game before that, Rutgers, they barely came by on, and McSorley had a very average game against that team, who's the worst team in the Big Ten. So the end of their season has not been great compared to the rest of their season. Very similar to how Kentucky has finished this season. Not great, not where they wanted to, But they did enough to get by and get into this type of game. So it's really going to depend a lot on how this month goes for these guys and who can heal up and who's going to be ready to go and who takes this time seriously and gets better.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their schedule, I was kind of doing the same kind of thought process you were there, Matt. And the other one that stood out to me was they only won by 5 at Indiana. You know, a 5-7 ball club, a 2-7 there. The other thing I had in my notes that I wanted to do was to back out of their stats the first four games. Because they just put up big, gaudy kind of numbers against, you know, Appalachian State. They barely pulled out in overtime. But then at Pittsburgh is a 51-6 game. Then you've got Kent State, who is a mid-major, 2-10 ball club. They were 51-6. And then you've got Kent State. Illinois was the other one out of the Big Ten, their first Big Ten game. They won 63-24. And, you know, Illinois was a 4-8 team, a 2-7 in the Big Ten conference. So I wanted to pull those stats out and see where they are to kind of chart and see. Now, Benny's not been what Benny was early in the year, but our offense has stayed pretty consistent to that first part of the year because our passing game has picked up and complemented that.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, I can't wait to kind of break down film, but my first reaction to this, I feel good with this matchup. I like this matchup. I think it's going to be a good game for us. But I think it's one that we can pull out.
Yeah, because here's the thing, and I'll be the first one to admit it. When you first heard about this, you're like, you immediately subconsciously think, oh, Penn State, this is going to be a tough game because it's Penn State, because of the name, because of the brand, because of program history that they've had. But when you really start, even just in the very initial numbers game that we're looking at right here that we've just been talking about, a very beatable team, a team that's not any better than this, you know, this Kentucky team is, and obviously that's why they matched them up. I think that we have a real opportunity, and like Greg said, the more that we get into this and can kind of dissect a little bit on where we can take advantage with certain things, it's just going to give us more confidence, I believe, because they're not a team that is unbeatable by any means or that doesn't have any glaring holes. There's going to be things that this Kentucky team can and coaching staff can expose. It's just a matter of finding the right thing.
You know what else I've been digging into?
I've been
digging into our statistics for our show.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, kind of going along with what Max was talking about earlier about advertising. Do you know our videos this week have been seen over 1,500 times this week? Not like this month. Since November 26th to December 2nd, 1,564 times our videos have been seen.
Well, because here's the great thing. We put those videos up immediately right after a press conference or whatever happens. We're putting them up before most other people are, which is the great thing because it's coming to you almost live. And we're running some live fill. I mean, you got to watch track to these games when we go to press conferences, men's, women's, basketball, volleyball. We're trying to get as best we can, depending on the room that we have and the connections that we have there. We're trying to get these things up live for you to actually watch them real time.
Yeah. Our Facebook post, and that's just off Facebook. That is just off of Facebook is the 1,564. Our posts on Facebook are up 31% over the last week, over 1,100 reaches on our posts going out just off our Facebook channel. Then whenever you take a look at our Twitter channel, which is what we use quite most often, in the last month we've had over 267,000 impressions made. So that means that in front of, if you were to advertise with us on our posts or our articles that we do or our daily sports update that we're doing now or our video posts that we put out, you have the potential to be seen by over 267,000. That's a quarter of a million people. That's an astronomical number when you think about that. I mean, you know, Matt with basketball has put up a couple posts here in the last month, November 9th and then November 28th. Each one of these posts has been seen by over 17,000 fans of our show.
Each.
Yeah, not together.
Yeah.
Each. So those are just, you know, amazing numbers. And, you know, so if you are on the fence or you're sitting there trying to figure out what will this advertising do for me, give us a shout, info@bbandchalktalk.com. We'd be glad to send you some examples of what we do, how we do it, and what kind of reach that we are getting with our marketing efforts on our show.
Love it.
It's good stuff. It's fun.
It really is.
It is good stuff.
It's been real good stuff for UK with all the awards they've been getting. Coach Stoops getting SEC Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Josh nice Allen.
Check with that today too. On that one contract.
I think so.
Probably.
I don't know what that number was. I'll try to find that.
Sure, it's a nice little payday.
He's probably getting something for it.
Kids will have a good Christmas.
Yeah, Mike Edwards named to second team All SEC. Bunchy named to first team All SEC. Josh Allen, not only first team but defensive player of the year, and then Benny Snell, first team All SEC, and of course Mark Stoops, coach of the year.
That's good stuff.
SEC's not bad. Not
like a, you know, it's not one of those middle of the road Power Five conferences like Big Ten, something like that. You know, it's you. You are SEC coach of the year over the likes of a Nick Saban. That's huge.
Well, when you win as much as Nick Saban, it's kind of just expected.
Well, defensive player of the year. Look at the defenses that we have this year in the SEC. Look at the different players that we have. And he's player of the year. It's good stuff.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything in here about awards.
I thought I heard.
Maybe he just gets a different one.
Yeah, because I know he gets that quarter of a mil for every win. He gets another bonus for the bowl. He got like $100,000 for going to a bowl.
Yep.
Win or lose. And then if he wins this game, it's another $250,000.
Yep.
And I think I remember somebody might have replied back to it. One of the other reporters might have replied to when Coach Morrow put out, congrats, you know, well-deserved honor. And somebody said, yeah, nice little paycheck. He'll pick up from that today too. So I'm assuming it's between $100,000 and $250,000, but either way, I mean, that's like us being at work and them giving us a $20 gift card to Starbucks or something like that.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Love
Honey,
it.
How was work today? Well, that's coach of the year. Got another $250,000.
Yeah.
Only $250,000?
I'm going to go watch game film.
Yeah, this Nagurski Award thing is going on right now, and I'm trying to – like, I'm following it on – Twitter, and I guess they haven't announced it yet, or if so, no one's reported it on who actually won, but I'm trying to follow these accounts. I wish there was a way that I could like actually watch it live, but that doesn't seem to be happening either, so I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you know here if it happens before the end of the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey, no problem, guys.
Yep.
Occasionally, you'll get a first-team All-SEC, a couple of third-team All-SECs. But to have four guys All-SEC.
Yep.
And coach of the year. My question is, CJ Conrad's not on that list?
You know, well, that, and I was wondering, too, about Bowden. I thought Lynn should have gotten a nod somewhere.
Yeah.
Do they do an all-purpose?
Well, SEC, this is the other thing we got to remember too. That is just the AP All SEC.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
that's just the AP All SEC.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So, I mean, I think there was only out of all those writers, there's only two of our guys that were on there, and the rest was around the SEC. So it's gonna be interesting to see what like the coach. I don't know if they do like a coach's pick or something like that. Maybe. Well, see, but I think there'll be more because I thought it was weird. There usually, when you look at those, there's all the way through honorable mention. There's usually first team, second team, third team honorable mention, and then only second teams. And then you didn't have a whole lot of special team stuff in it,
right? I don't know. Yes, but before we get into some U of L talk here, I do have another question for you guys.
What?
Do you own or manage a business that uses advertising to market your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting customer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior. And because radio is often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise. Whether it is getting people to go online and make a purchase, stopping into a restaurant, or spreading the word for a product, nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BBN Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? And Greg already kind of talked about that. Contact us today at info@bbnchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
So, are you watching out on the Negrosi stuff? Are you on the
Club? Honestly, I just put in Negrosi and Twitter and just been following the latest just to see what pops up.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they actually have a...
What if they don't use that hashtag once they break it?
It's not a hashtag. It's just the word. So anytime Negrosi gets mentioned.
What if they just don't put that word and just go, and the award goes to Josh Allen?
There'll be a lot of confusion then.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. Maybe. Then I won't catch
it. Ish happens.
Yeah.
Especially talking about Ish.
Yep.
What in the world happened with this Louisville coaching search? I'm glad it's finally over.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened.
You're like going to give it to one person and you tell everybody in the world that it's going to happen because they are the prodigal son of the city and they love Louisville so much it's ingrained in their blood. And then they go, not so much.
Yeah, I think what Louisville did was they made a safe play. I think after the Jeff Brohm fiasco turned out and not in their favor, Vince Tyra just decided, I'm not going to keep doing this and keep trying and striking out because if a guy that played here and is from here won't even come back here, no chance I'm going to get another high name type of person. So I'm just going to settle and go with what I can get, and that is Scott Satterfield from Appalachian State.
If he had been told no by the other coach, how much of a dumpster fire would this program be in right now?
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, listen, he's not the greatest hire, but he's not the worst hire. I mean, like I said, he's a safe pick. He's an offensive mind. I know he's, you know, pretty responsible, I guess, for getting Appalachian State into, you know, FBS, out of the FCS into FBS. And he's done a lot. This is always one of the teams that you talk year in and year out about being that team that you don't want to schedule first game. And honestly, our next opponent scheduled them first game, Penn State. They played them at the very beginning of the season and barely got away with a win 45-38. So this is always that team that's ready to go at the beginning of the season. They do well in their conference, but it's just, again, they don't play anybody really big other than – whoever their first opponent is of the year. And then that's just – it is what it is. They end up, you know, winning the – what are they in the Sun Belt? I think they won the Sun Belt Conference Championship this past weekend. And, you know, they're going to be playing in a bowl game against MTSU, an opponent that we've seen already. So, you know, they're two losses, Penn State, Georgia Southern this year, which is not a great loss there at Georgia Southern. They got beat by 20. So – it's one of those hires that I'm not overly worried about it. As a UK fan, I don't really know much about him. I don't really, at this point, care all that much. I think he'll be a fine hire, but he's not going to come in and just make an immediate impact, especially with the guys that he has on the team right now. It's going to take him a minute to get things right.
Yeah, I don't care who you brought in. It's going to take a minute to get this program right again because it is all out of whack. You could almost even start to drill into the athletic program itself right now. With the exception of, like, I mean, what, women's basketball, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball.
So were they top five? And
solid, yeah.
Yeah.
They had the problems with the lacrosse team here, with the women's lacrosse team. And baseball's been pretty solid with Dan McDonald. He's a good, big character guy. And football and what's going on with basketball. You know, I don't know anything about the new guy at basketball. Max, you're pretty big.
They've done well so far, and be honest, they beat Michigan last week, and then won on the road at Seton Hall here. So I mean, they're not doing bad. He's a likable guy.
That's why I like the Seton Hall matchup for us this week.
Yeah,
kind of let us know where we're gonna fit into things.
Right, for sure. So yeah, I don't know. That's at least they got somebody to fill the position. I think that was probably the number one worry overall, is just we need somebody that wants to take this on. And they found a guy that at least comes from another FBS school. So,
right.
Yeah, where is it? Does anybody even know where Appalachian State is? That's not in the state of Kentucky.
No, it's right by Boone, North. I think it's Boone, North Carolina. It's a cool area. I went on a recruiting trip there, and I was considering it. Like, it's a cool area.
Look at you.
And there was
Boone, North Carolina. You nailed it.
Yeah, Brad Coley, who was a offensive lineman there. He's a Cal alum. He was actually, I believe he was starting left guard or right guard when they beat Michigan that year. Brad Coley.
I vaguely remember that now.
And he wound up leaving Appalachian State with 4 national championships. The most decorated Cal alum in Cal history.
Is he not?
Behind you.
Well, no, I don't have any national championships. I have a bowl ring that I lost.
You lost your bowl ring?
No, we lost the bowl. Oh, no, the ring's sitting right there. Bowl ring, I was
like, wow.
I mean, I never wear it anyway.
Did not wear it to like when you did the KHSA games?
No.
Do a Wally English, just show up.
I wore wide rim glasses. What do you think I wore? I had wide rim glasses and a mustache. What do you think I did?
You could impress the kids.
I don't know.
I didn't know Mario won a state championship. Look at that. He's got a nice ring.
I'll tell you this, though. My favorite UK alum now, by far, is Bill Ransdale. Just hanging out with him for a couple of days, that was the greatest thing ever. He's the dude. Huh?
He's a Cal alum?
UK alum.
Oh, UK alum.
Freaking hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Dude's really spot on. Which his wife works for WVOK as well, which, Lyle, you and I met her.
Yep.
Really, really cool guy. That was fun. And Steve Bertram from Bowl County, who I did side-by-side color commentary with, did a really good job. He asked me if I was nervous, and I said, yeah, a little bit. And I said, why? And he goes, I could tell you're nervous. How? Because you're saying phenomenal every other word. Switch it up. And he gave me a list of six adjectives. And he said, I want you to stick your pen right by each one. And as soon as you use it, just go down the list. And he says, that's what I always do. And he had a list. He keeps a list of adjectives, and just good adjectives, bad adjectives. And he just goes down the list and just makes a mark. That was a horrific play. That was an excellent play.
What were the six? Do you remember?
Phenomenal, excellent, extraordinary, brutal, and awesome. Those were the ones I kept going through.
Which one is different than the others?
Brutal.
That's a hard one. You just have like in the middle, like what if you're like, that was a brutal touchdown. Oh, I mean, awesome touchdown.
No, my negative adjectives were easy. Atrocious, pitiful, selfish. Those were easy. All right, my favorite one, low football IQ play.
Wow.
I used that one. Kid came in.
They're high schoolers, Max. Come on. Jeez.
Well, no, the kid. There's no one.
What is he thinking he's doing? He has a low football IQ.
They just have to remember their pads, like all their pads to play in the game. Like, that's good enough.
He's just sucking up. He's a 13-year-old now. It's not the 12 anymore.
Kid comes out of nowhere. The play's over and runs full head of steam and just drills this kid in the back and gets a flag.
And he jumps up and goes, no, 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 no.
And Steve Bertram goes, that was not a good idea. That's going to give them a 15-yard penalty. Well, Steve, that was a very low football IQ play. I don't know what he was thinking. I said, why in the – I think mainly I finally just started getting more and more mad at the play. I'm like, why would you do that? You're now out of field goal range. You've just now lost the game because you just wanted to drill a kid in the back. Like, what were you thinking?
I mean, think about, Max, you remember when we would stand on the sidelines after you graduated and would come back and watch a Cal game? And, like, it would be you and me and Rish and all those guys just kind of stand. And then the parents would come down and stand behind us and make some of the comments to where we would all just look at them like, do you even understand this game?
Oh, there are a lot of parents with very low football IQ. No football IQ.
What do we teach them these days? It's all off of what they see. You know, they want to make that highlight reel. They want to make that big hit that's going to be on somebody's YouTube page.
Completely. I know we're off subject, but one thing, did you see this during Alabama's huge punt return? I think it was either their first or second punt return. They had Bama player was able to get to the sideline. There was two Georgia players, and an Alabama player comes running in 35 miles an hour, full tilt, and instead of just cleaning his clock, he turns his shoulders and scrapes paint.
Yep.
Takes his side and just kind of just uses his body as just uses – doesn't even block him, just uses his body as a shield and wound up taking two guys out by doing that. And that's that kind of discipline on a special teams play. And I saw that and, like, I got so giddy over special teams. I could not stop talking about special teams for that state championship game. I at least mentioned special teams once or twice during – each drive.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
Not shocked.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
I'm trying to.
So, we've got some other sports still kicking around. I know we were kind of football heavy tonight, but just to kind of let everybody know that women's basketball's got a game Thursday night against Rhode Island at 7 p.m. in Memorial. And the volleyball game is Friday at 2 p.m. afternoon contest against the University of Nebraska. And it's got some other things going on, some other sports that we mentioned that we don't cover a whole lot of, but we do mention from time to time. Track and field has an indoor meet this week, the Hoosier Open. Not who's open, but the Hoosier Open.
Hoosier Open.
Is Friday, the track and field world. Men's basketball takes a trip up to New York City to face Seton Hall in Madison Square Garden Saturday at noon tip. Women's basketball will be Sunday, 2 p.m. They take on the University of Louisville. That will be here in the city of Louisville. And that is a 2 o'clock tip on that one as well on Sunday, December the 9th. And also Sunday, December 9th at 3 p.m. is the annual blue-white meet for UK gymnastics. It's kind of like their inter-squad scrimmage, if you will. As they get ready to kick off their season with women's gymnastics in Memorial Coliseum.
Love it.
So that's what we got going on this week.
Yep. I love that.
Lots of fun stuff. And I might actually try to get out to that women's gymnastics on Sunday after the show for a little bit, get some pictures, make our presence known. Welcome to the BB and Chalk Talk family.
Love it. That sounds great to me.
And then after the girls' volleyball team, I don't know why I say girls' volleyball team. After the volleyball team wins on Friday, they will play on Saturday. I believe the tip, the first serve on that one is 7 p.m. And more than likely, they will face host Minnesota on Saturday.
Minnesota.
Number two seed. So that it's going to be a huge, huge match.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Good deal.
Yeah. So, hey, our new polls, our wacky polls that we're going to do on every show.
You spelled wacky wrong on here.
Huh?
It's not even close. If that's what you're trying to spell.
No, that spells W-L-K-Y. My dyslexia kicked in.
Then why you call it wacky polls? Because at that point, it should be quacky.
No.
Yeah.
Just.
So, is it wacky polls or weekly polls? Which one is it?
It's going to be a weekly poll.
Then why is it a wacky poll then?
Because it's crazy. That's how we are.
So it's a weekly wacky poll.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Rivalry week. Yes, folks, I'm here all week. I'll be doing the dinner show every day at 6 p.m. So our choice this week is the music that gets dropped in and out of our segments on our Sunday show on WVLK.
Did we run this by Dave?
Nah, we'll tell him.
Yeah. He sends me weird stuff on Facebook. He owes me.
Okay. I'm glad y'all bonded like that. I'm the Dave guy now.
I'm the Dave contact.
You're the Dave guy now. So you're the Dave contact, the coffee starter, which you failed on this week, my friend.
Well, no. Bull crap, because I made it for you last time and you didn't get it. Guess what? You get one try and you're not getting any more.
I did get it last time.
You did. Bull, you didn't.
I took two cups with me.
Yeah, at the very end. No, it's for the show. Coffee is for closers. You did not close.
You didn't open.
No. No, because I made the coffee.
Did you make it Sunday?
Not this Sunday, because you didn't have any. You didn't have any last week.
You know why I did not have any this week? Do you know why I did not have any coffee this week?
What's your poll?
I know.
Do you know why?
I know. You're never going to get coffee again. I'm not making coffee anymore. I don't make coffee for people that don't care when people do stuff for them. Not going to do it. You didn't care about the coffee 2 weeks ago. You don't get any coffee last week. And you won't get any coffee this week. Get Matt down there.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
Two things.
Yes.
Number one, I drank the coffee 2 weeks ago, Max.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you want coffee, Matt?
Yes. Number two, I didn't have coffee this week. And
why didn't you have coffee this week?
Because Max didn't make it.
Okay. So that's why I didn't have coffee this week either.
Right. Yes.
You all better drink that coffee. If you're making this much of a big deal about it, you better have coffee this week.
I'm going to dump it on your lap while you're sitting there.
So let's go through the list.
Scalding hot.
You're the Dave contact. Mm-hmm. You're the coffee guy. And the most important one is you're the security guy that makes sure our car doesn't get towed every week.
Yes.
That's numero uno. Put that at the top of the list.
Yep.
And those basically the three things you got to take care of on the show. But we're going to do music this week. So the music gets played in and out. We're going to pick either a group or a style of music we want to hear. And then we're going to let the fans vote on what we should do. So Mr. Godby, our host, our fearless leader that no longer looks like a guy living in a van by the river. He shaved his mustache. What is your selection for music?
For the inaugural one, I'm going with my favorite artist of all time, the man that never really died, Johnny Cash, the Man in Black.
Oh, nice one. I like that one.
That is a good one.
I like that. See, this is going to be like the food topics. We'll always be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's not going to be like somebody's going to pick one that we're going to be like, oh, I just can't believe that we're playing.
Mine is Nickelback. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there we go. Okay.
And there it goes. I'm rocking with Def Leppard. Dave has been doing a good job of playing some classic rock music, and I love it. But Def Leppard is easily maybe number one, but definitely top three for me as far as classic rock bands go.
I am going to throw a wild card and pick a genre versus an artist to give Dave free reign. Christmas music. And the look on Godby's face makes it all well.
It's totally worth it.
You said it's after Thanksgiving. You said decorate the house. You said blare the Christmas music. Well, guess what?
But it's not a Christmas-themed episode. So wouldn't we save that for the 23rd? You know,
wouldn't it feel better? Wouldn't it get you in the mood to hear that?
Not particularly. Oh. I hate the holidays in general, so I'm just saying it's okay to put it up, but I just hate the holidays.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I'm fine with any of those that happen.
I'm honestly, I'm fine with the Christmas music.
Yeah, that look on your face said you were fine.
I'm never fine.
when Max says he's fine, it's like that gif of, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's just burning behind him. So that's what Max's life is.
My fine is I can manage.
Yeah.
I'm not fine. Everything's burning down, but I'll manage.
Here's the best thing. I wonder what Dave would play with that.
Oh, there's no telling. You should have put some restrictions on it.
No, that's the best part of it. Just let him go.
Oh, that may be a bad idea. We may be getting a call from Scott on that one.
No, that's his employee. That's his employee that's doing it. We just pointed him in a direction. He finished it. We can't get in trouble for that.
Oh, okay. Let's check. Let's make sure our contract says that also.
No, we have no control. That's your board operator. That's not ours. We don't pay him. You do. We just said we wanted to hear some Christmas music. We didn't understand that it was going to be Russian house band Christmas music that he would have.
Whatever that Russian music was that he was playing. Oh, my gosh. Missed that, Matt.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But, oh, my goodness. I was like, it's like that episode of Seinfeld when they paint the picture of Kramer. Loathsome, offensive brute. Yet they can't look away. Yep. And that's how I was with that. I was like, this is the most horrible thing I've watched, but I can't look away. It's toe-tappingly terrible.
Wow. Look at that. Was that one of your words for the game?
Toe-tappingly terrible? Yeah,
one of your bad phrases.
That would have been great for some of the shanked punks I saw. Gosh.
Oh, wow.
The amount of shanked punts. Their 90% problem was just not having a punter for a lot of them. Yeah. I forgot back in the day, like, you're on your own 35. It's 4th and 25. Yeah, let's go for it. Yep. Why not?
Yep. That's right.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
Well, guys, this one's been fun.
Yeah. We'll be back on Thursday.
Correct. Yep, make sure to check our show on Thursday. And for Matt Smith and Greg Lau, my name's Max Scobie. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon, and go Cats.